more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus.
Hey, yeah, I need just a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus
to help me along the way.
Good Sunday morning. You're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
We're going to continue with excerpts from the Prophetic Roundtable Conference 2015 with Apostle John Eckhart. In Luke chapter 19, it talks about Jesus weeping over Jerusalem when he realized that they were missing their day of visitation because they were rejecting the very truth that had been sent to them through Jesus, the perfect prophet. And even so, people who flow in the prophetic and people who fill the office of the prophet often find themselves grieved and weeping when people reject the truth that God is sending through them.
I know when I first read the scripture, when he was talking about that Jesus wept because he felt that the city was missing the opportunity of the visitation. Soon as he read that scripture, I began to even feel even the sorrow that even Jesus felt, and how you even look at other churches and you're seeing that they're just going along with traditions, and you begin to start thinking, man, what opportunity God has for the body of Christ, particularly at this time, in this moment, that he wants to do some new things in the church.
But even now in America, aren't we missing an opportunity to embrace the things of God by rejecting the very truth that comes along with the Word of God? Everything that is called good in the Bible, we're calling evil, and that which the Lord abhors, we are embracing and calling good in America. And how the hearts of those who love God must weep over the ruin that is coming to America.
Yeah, that is so true, because we're seeing even to this day where things are happening, where America seems as though they're turning their back on God and they're exalting men more than they're exalting the Word of God.
Go to Luke 19 in verse 41. I want to show you Jesus weeping as a prophet over the city of Jerusalem. Now, one thing you must learn as a prophet is you can't make folk do anything. You can prophesy to people. You can tell them what God is saying. But it's not your responsibility to make people do anything. Some people just will not obey God. And it grieves you, because you know that God has so much more for them. You know that God has so much more for the church. And you see it. And you decree it and say it. But sometimes people just miss God. And so notice in Luke 19:41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace or thy shalom, but now they are hid from thine eyes, for the days will come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. So he knew what was going to happen to this city. As a prophet, he knew, and he saw it, and he decreed it. And this caused him to weep. Here's a prophet weeping. Here's a prophet weeping over a city that God had chosen, but because they did not know the time of the visitation, they missed God. And that's the life of a prophet. Prophets often can see what is happening and see people walking away from it, and it causes them to mourn and weep. Look at this verse. Go to Luke 23, similar word, Luke 23 and verse 28. The women are following Christ. Verse 27, there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. So when Christ is being taken to Calvary, a number of women were following him weeping. Verse 28, but Jesus turning unto them said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear and the paths which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. Or was he saying there's coming a day when it's going to be so bad in Jerusalem that it would be better not to have children? But here's the life of a prophet, seeing what is coming, declaring what is coming, and people rejecting it.
I like the excerpt where he talks about the fact that those who flow in the prophetic are not good at maintaining the status quo. But if you want something done, give it to them and they'll get it done. But they're going to change everything that is not moving according to the flow of God. If you give them the ability to operate freely in the things of God, they'll get the job done. But if you want the status quo, that's probably not the person for you. And if you think about it, if you've ever moved in the prophetic, you know that you can see mm-hmm. when things are not right and you just want to change it. Mm-hmm. You can see when people are out of position or out of place, when something needs to be changed, when you need to get rid of the old and usher in the new. They've been there too long, or you sung that song long enough. You've been around this mount long enough. Turn and take your journey.
You know what? And when you think about it too, it's not only that they know they'll take a project and change it, or they'll fix a situation, but it will not stay the same. And I believe that's the reason why the prophet experienced a lot of warfare. Mm. Because when you begin to start seeing some things and saying, this is the reason why this is not working and we need to change this, and that person probably need to move into another area. Maybe
they're
out of place. Well, you know, that's when you get the blowback.
So you know the biggest spirit you're coming against is religious.
Right.
The religious spirit, those who like to keep things the way they are. And it's not a matter of the move of the Spirit of God. It's about, you know, this is our program. This is the way we've always done it. This is the way we want to keep on doing it. Even if it's dead and lifeless, they just want to do it that way because that's the way we've always done it. Sometimes when people are doing things and they can't even tell you why they're doing it anymore, I mean, it borderlines on the ridiculous. Why you keep singing that song? I don't know. It's the way we always sung it. My grandmama sung it, and everybody before her sung it. So we just keep on singing the song.
Yeah. And one of the other things along that same vein is the prophet will challenge people. They will challenge. And it takes a strong person. That's the reason why God told, you know, Jeremiah, you know, don't look at their faces.
Well, that's why Jeremiah found himself wanting to quit and give up. Because when you start challenging the status quo and the religious people of your day, mm-hmm. you'll find that there's some blowback that comes. And you don't make a lot of friends by challenging the things that people have embraced. You don't make a lot of friends by going in, overturning, uprooting, kicking down, pulling out. You're not making a lot of friends like that, because you're pulling down high places that people have coveted for a long time.
And that's where the enemy comes in, particularly in the praise and worship. I think the praise and worship ministry, and that even includes the sound. I mean, it would be a good thing that the praise and worship and the dance and the song ministry will operate as one together. But what happens usually is that the enemy, I think, fight that the hardest, because what I've seen is when the prophetic begin, or the person that's prophetic, and they begin to sing as they hear the Lord, you know, speaking into their ear, or how the Spirit of the Lord is moving, it begins to open up people's hearts and to whether they repent, whether they say, Lord, I need help, or whatever it is, it begins to remove that stony heart And God is able to step in, and the enemy knows it. So what he does is he fight against that whole thing.
And that's
he
why you need that people that part. Are on the worship team and that play on the folks he that play prophetic. The instruments are not exempt from this, because David played so skillfully and under the anointing that evil spirits were driven out of folks. So you need people that are anointed and flow prophetically on the instruments, and people that are anointed and flow prophetically singing in the praise and worship team. I long for the day when the praise team sings songs that they have not learned on this past song. Week. Sing a new song, yes. New melodies from heaven. When the musicians begin to play tunes that they have not rehearsed and learned, never have heard before, but they just allow God to lead them to play skillfully upon whatever instrument it is they play. When you begin to do that, when you sing a new song from heaven, God will come in there. It's not always the song that worked on, as is what he talked about in the conference, not always the song that worked on last week. Worked last week may not work this week.
And it's not always the best singer.
And it's not always the one that the Lord is flowing through that has yielded themselves to the flow.
Hearing the words of the Lord. Or they're just, this is like free fall. They're just singing by the Spirit of the Lord.
Really, and the God anointing destroys the yoke.
That's exactly
so it's
what
not
it
the
says.
Good singer that destroys the yoke. It's the anointing of God that destroys the yoke. And whomever God anoints, that's the one where he's flowing through. And would to God he would anoint them all and they would all be yielded.
Can't
you
wait.
Need to spend some time in the presence of God.
And you know what? Even the same thing, you know, when a person's lifestyle is not lining up with the word, they know they can sing. They know they have the talent. The people know they can sing. The people get moved emotionally off of their singing, but that anointing and that ability to break those yokes is just
because it's
not
by power nor by might,
right.
But it's by his spirit.
And the prophet is one that will come in and begin to start stirring up things, and somebody may have to move out the way.
Well, that's why they said if you want to get it done, give it to the one that moves prophetically, but you've got to be willing to allow change to happen, because
right.
They're not going to do it maintaining the status quo.
Right.
Here's another clip from the conference.
You give a prophet a project, I guarantee they will change it and make it better. That's what a prophet does. A prophet always see what can be done to improve something. If you want something just maintained, don't give it to a prophet. Prophets are good, not good maintainers, because they always see what can improve. They have a whole vision in panoramic view. They dream in color, technicolor. You give them a department, they automatically know what's to change. They know what's old and outdated. Sometimes that's why pastors can't handle prophets. When they put prophets in charge, they see sometimes pastors just say, look, do this, don't change nothing. Prophets can't do that. Prophets, the first thing they say is we need to get rid of some of these folks. We need to remove Elmer Fudd, Gomer Pyle, and Steve Urkel. These three, the three stooges, Moe, Curly, and Larry. And a leader said, I wonder why it's not growing. You're like, Moe, Curly, and Larry. Shimp. You can't grow with Elmer Fudd in charge. Prophets see what needs to be changed, what needs to be added, what is outmolded, outdated. It may have worked 20 years ago, but we need something new. That's a prophet. That's why prophets can't function. If you're in a church and they just put you over some and say, don't touch nothing, you might as well say, look, you got the wrong person. I'm not going to touch it. I'm going to blow it up. This, you don't get that thing and just push it down. Boom. This whole thing needs to be blowed up. That's a prophet, because you have a wisdom to repair, to advance, to bring new things.
One of the greatest weapons that the enemy uses against God's people is the weapon of discouragement. And one of the responsibilities of the prophet is that they will stir up. They will encourage the individual. Wouldn't it be great when, you know, sometimes you're not feeling the best, you know, you've gone through some things and the prophet or someone give a prophetic word to you.
Or anyone that flows in the prophetic.
They will speak a word that will stir up the hearts of people, or stir up the service.
And that's so true, because even David, when he was hiding out in the cave of Adullam, the Bible says that everyone who was in distress and everyone who was indebted or discontented, they came to and gathered themselves to him. And the Bible says that the Lord gave him the ability to make of them a great army. So he had the ability to stir up the gift that was laying dormant in them, because they had become discouraged, discontented. They wanted to quit. They wanted to give up. But when God, and you know, David knew how to stir them up because God had let David stir himself up. Remember, David had to say to himself, encourage myself in the Lord, because there was no one left to encourage him. He said, I will encourage myself. Sometimes you got to encourage yourself. But if you can't do that, get around those who move in and flow in the prophetic, and their gift will stir up the gift that's in you. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift is within you. So sometimes you got to stir it up. And if you can't quite get it, get around other people who flow in that prophetic anointing, and their gift will stir you up because it's contagious.
One thing about it is that when prophets or those who flow in the prophetic, when they get together, there is a stirring in the spirit. And isn't it a blessing when God begins to speak to her through an individual and you know that he's speaking to you? When he begins to do that, then your hope rises. You get so excited that what flows out of your mouth is in your heart. You're saying, Lord, whatever you do, don't do it without me. I want to be a part of this new move of God.
Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of whatever God is doing. When he troubles the water, I want to get into the water as the flow of the Spirit is moving. When the cloud moves, I want to move with the cloud when it moves. Whatever God is doing, even if it goes against the grain of what I desire, if it goes against the grain of what I'm comfortable with, if it takes me out of my comfort zone, I don't want God to do anything in this season except he include me.
You gotta tell them for yourself.
Don't do it without me.
Come on, say it like you mean it. If you need a healing, just say,
Lord,
if you're healing
in
this season, please
don't do it without me.
No, 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 no.
Don't do it without me.
I don't care what the sickness is.
Amen. Whatever you are doing, don't do it without me. Those who move in the prophetic are often grieved by the fact that churches have often quenched the very spirit of God, the free flow of the things of God, and it will cause you sometimes spiritual frustration when you see that churches have replaced the power of God for the programs of man, that we have taken the movement of God and made a monument
to those who flow in the prophetic.
To it, even the disciples wanted to build monuments, and those who flow in the prophetic will become very grieved in their spirit when they are in a church where there's stagnation and then there's no growth and no movement of the things of God. When the waters are no longer troubled, when there is no movement in the rivers, the Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. When there's no flow of the rivers of living water, those who move in the prophetic will be grieved in their spirit.
When you have a church that is stuck in tradition, meaning that they're doing the same thing over and over again, you can look at a church program and you can see that this is time for prayer.
Oh, you don't even have to look at the program. You know, it's 5:05. Here's what they're doing at church right now.
Yeah, exactly. And so what happens is when you have a person that flow in the prophetic, that begins to grieve their spirit, because what it's doing, it is quenching the spirit of God. The people are not being changed.
If routine is good and programs are good in their place, but when they stifle and stymie the very move of the power of God, then it's time to get out of the routine. It's time to do away with your program.
Yeah, prophets hate when there's no freedom in the spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Liberty.
Prophets, when churches shut down the spirit of God, quench the Holy Ghost, that will grieve a prophet. When churches replace power with programs, the prophet is like, I'm out of here.
Yep.
I ain't got time for this. You know, ladies say, ain't nobody got time for that. And she was prophesying, ain't nobody got time for that. Freedom and liberty. I really believe the prophet's ministry will help the church stay free. Because what prophets do is they when they see the liberty of God, when I say liberty, I'm talking about, I know it's order. I'm not talking about people doing whatever they want to do. I'm not talking about being wild and chaotic. You know, there's an order. But when prophets see the liberty of the spirit being choked out of the church, they're the first ones to sound the alarm. They're the first ones to say, you know, we're taking the spirit of God out. We're no longer free to praise and worship God. We're quenching the Holy Ghost. We're cutting short the service. We don't allow deliverance. We don't allow healing. We don't allow the prophetic. We don't allow people to dance and rejoice and shout. We're more concerned about our order of service and our announcements and everything else we're doing. We're doing everything but what the prophet is the one that tends to sound the alarm.
We talk about God wanting to do a new thing in our midst, and he will flow through, come through those who flow in the prophetic. And those who do flow in the prophetic are always wanting to see the new things of God. And I like when Apostle Eckhart said, the Lord ain't never told you to sing an old song before the Lord, but he said, sing unto the Lord a new song. And God will do a new thing in your midst. He's shown you new things. God wants to do a new thing. Are you willing and are you ready to receive the new things of God? It's a new season. It's a new day. Are we willing to let God usher in a change, or are you so committed and tied to the old ways that you are not willing and receptive to usher in the new things of God?
He said in his word in Isaiah, he says, behold, he said, I will do a new thing. He said, don't you recognize it? And that's the part that gets me excited, because he's saying, can't you see? Can't you understand? Can't you discern the times that you're in, that I want to do this new thing? That's what he told to Israel. He says, I will make a way in the wilderness. He was just telling them the things that he wants to do in their lives. And instead of yielding to it, what we do is we begin to say, no, but this is the way, God, this is the way we've done it before. And this is the way we're going to continue to do it. This is the way that our denomination says it should be done. And so we're going to stick with that. And so
we've never had a woman preach from a pulpit. We surely can't have one preach now.
Goodness.
We've never had someone give a prophetic utterance. Surely we can't do that now. We've never done the offering before we've done the song. We've never done a song after we've done the preaching. We can't change the order now. But what about if God wants to come in,
you know,
and God wants to breathe fresh upon your service? What about when God wants to change the order and do a new thing? I know it's not the way you've done it before, but this is a new way, a new thing, the way of the Lord.
Right. That's right. And it reminds me of when I was reading in the Bible, when it talked about when the snakes began to bite the people, and what the Lord told Moses is to make a serpent out of bronze and hold it up on the pole. And he said that anyone that look upon this serpent, he said, they will be saved. 800 years later,
still worshiping
that serpent, meaning they could not, they felt there was more power in that serpent than they believed there were power in God. And so that's the same example. That's the same thing we're doing now. We are really worshiping in those old moves of God. At the time, they were good. It's to move you into a new season, a new situation, a new experience with God. When that was given to you, that was then. This is now. And I want to do a new thing in the earth.
And the Bible says in Isaiah 43:19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I mean, God is going to come in your desert places, and God is going to come in your desolate places. He said, I will make a way in the wilderness where it looks barren and hopeless and it looks destitute and lonely. I'll come through there and make a way out of no way. Where you're in the desert and there is no rivers of water flowing, he said, I'll make rivers of water to flow in the desert if you allow me to do this new thing in your midst. But you've got to let it spring forth. You've got to let me do the new thing in your midst. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you will harden your heart and reject the truth of the living God, you too will miss your day of visitation from the Lord. God wants to do a new thing. God is willing to do a new thing. God is willing to make ways in the wilderness and rivers in desert places. Are you willing and obedient to say, yes, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me?
New things. Underline that one. New things. New thing. Now, Isaiah 42, really there are three verses I want you to write down that I believe are very revelatory when it comes to prophets. And each one of them talks about a new thing. They're all in Isaiah. Let me find them for you. Give me one moment. Isaiah 42 and 9. Behold, the former things that come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Then Isaiah 48:6. Thou hast heard, seen all this, see all this, and will not ye, and will not ye declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things that thou didst not know. Now, I believe that one of the things that motivates people and keeps us moving forward are new things. God has designed us to always have a new sun, a new sunrise, a new season, a new day. There's something about new things that motivate us. See, you know how people get excited when somebody gets married, a new marriage, when a new baby's born? You remember how excited you got when you got your first new car? If you don't know that feeling, it's just a new car smell. If you can't get a new car, go get the spray, the new car spray, and spray it in your car. Isn't it amazing how you can put on a new suit, get some new shoes and feel better? Get some new furniture? Makes your house feel better, doesn't it? Somebody got demons in my house. Get rid of that old furniture. That stuff been in there since the 60s. It probably got all kind of demons in it. New carpet, new house. It seems as if God has designed us that we need new things. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to have new things every day. But in your life, you've got to have something new happen. If you don't, life becomes boring and routine. We get bored quickly. And there's nothing worse than a person who is bored, old-fashioned, outmoded, outdated. It's depressing. When's the last time God did something new in your life? Do you have new things happen to you spiritually all the time? Or are you still going by what happened 20 years ago? When the last time a new thing happened in your church? One of the things that prophets are anointed to do is release the new. It's a part of a prophet's mantle. They know the new thing God wants to do, and they're able to declare it, pray it, release it, because without the new, we get stuck. We stagnate. We get in a rut. We become an old wineskin.
That sound is the sound of the shofar. When that shofar was blown, the people were called together as one and to begin to worship God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this day. We honor you. We bless your name. We thank you, Father, that you're calling the body of Christ to a new place, oh Father. We hear the sound, dear Father. We hear the trumpet being blown today that we can no longer flow in the status quo, God. But we must come up higher, because there is a dying world out here today that they have to see the power of God, that they may be saved. Every church that is hearing this message, every person that, Father God, that is a part of the body of Christ, that they will begin to hunger and thirst, dear Father, for your move of God to be in their local church, that they will never be the same. You said that you would cause rivers of living water to flow, Father God, in those dry places, oh Father.
If you want the entire conference on CD, it is available through the Authority of the Believer's Ministry. Just email us or text us or reach out to us on Facebook, and we will put you in touch with the Authority of the Believer's Ministry.
We thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.
Jesus.